But what that means is that reason rules that the capacity to resist is submitted to reason and that they both control our desires. And if you do that, you are a rationally functioning human being and presumably a society filled with rationally functioning human beings, or in which rationally functioning human beings were dominant, would be the best possible society. It's worth mentioning, maybe, that as a society, the Republic looks a whole lot like a society that actually existed at Plato's time, and that society was Sparta, which was supported by a vast enslaved population that they called helots, that had a military elite who were the full Spartans, who devoted their lives entirely to training for warfare, and was ruled by an oligarchy of former Spartan warriors, for the most part, who were old and presumably wise. It is interesting in that regard to note that at the end of the Peloponnesian War, when the Spartans beat Athens and set up a government in Athens that was pro-Spartan, two of Plato's close relatives, older, were in that government. That's one of the reasons that later on, in fact, Plato was not always in good order, and Socrates was executed for, as the charge went, corrupting youth. Be that as it may, though, let's continue and address the question, how do those philosopher kings, those philosophers, know what is just? And here we come to the central point of Plato's epistemology, which is a big fancy word meaning nothing. Plato's epistemology, that is his study of how do we know what we know, which for my money is where he is as influential and persuasive as he is anywhere. His fundamental claim is this: our knowledge of things can't be entirely based on what we see around us, because what we see around us is always changing. You yourself are not the same as you were yesterday. You are in a constant process of aging, growth, or whatever. Not only that, you look at two people and they're not identical. What is it then that justifies you in thinking of them both as people, or indeed thinking of yourself as a person as you change? It can't be the thing itself. There has to be some common nature, some structural principle out there which lies behind the way we linguistically and conceptually dice up the world to make sense of it. It can't be the things themselves, because they're hopelessly impermanent and change all the time. We'd be constantly inventing new words and new concepts. It just wouldn't fly. I think he's right about that. People make a lot of fun of him for this, but to me, I don't see how it could be otherwise. I mean, there it is. His name for this structure is the forms or the ideas. And his claim is that in some sense, and this is a metaphor, we look through the world around us, apprehend, come to understand the forms that give rise to the world and designate things as of this or that kind. Here's a cat, here's a dog, here's mom, whatever, on the basis of our knowledge of those forms, which also give rise to things in the world. That's the fundamental claim. He then moves on, and here is where both Plato and, at least in Plato's portrayal, Socrates begin to resemble that Zen master. He then asks, where do these forms come from? How do we perceive this stuff? Where does this stuff live if it's not in the world around us? A good question. A good question. And here is, in the Republic, where